Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally does sell some seashells by the seashore. And when she's by the seashore, Sally does sell some seashells. Hussein Obama transitions into the trumpeteer. I've seen headlines on the internet, so it must be true, about Obama's doing all sorts of terrible things at the last minute before Donald Trump comes in. Really? No shit. Are you guys new to politics? Are you? Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourself. And, Randy, my microphone's a little bit hot. Can you turn that fucking thing down? Of course, I say we, so I can blame other people. I fucked with some of the software, and now we're sort of retweaking everything. Here at Stating the Obvious, it is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile by hand by comes in and destroy stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. Does not matter what kind of fucking statist you are. You can be a left-wing statist, you can be a right-wing statist, you can be a GLBTKKK statist, you can be a homo statist, you can be a statist, you can be a femistatist, you can be a cyber statist, you can even be a motherfucking anarcho-sissy. It does not fucking matter to me. I don't care about your feelings, and you can go fuck yourself, because I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 12 motherfucking years. November 2004, first episode of Stating the Obvious podcast, went onto the fucking interwebs. In discussions about this recently, somebody asked, like, thing, it's like, I don't even know whatever motivated me. I'm sitting around 12 years ago, going, I think I'll record myself talking and put that on the internet. Like, I don't even know why I thought that was a good idea. But apparently I did, and I did it, and here we are. Speaking of where we are at, in the control room, lovely and adorable Randy, we're here at the People's Republic of Fort Collins, where winter is still around. Fuck, I hate winter. I haven't been trail running in ages. It's driving me insane. Today is the 13th of January in the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama, 2017. Soon to transition into the year of our... What are we going to call... Is he going to be called our Lord? He is the next Messiah. I think I'm going to go with Emperor God. To the year of our Emperor God, Donald Trump. Ah, yes, the trumpeting. All right, so let's start here. I have so much... I got some email from a listener that I need to talk about because he asked an intelligent question about anarcho-capitalism and how it would survive, how would an anarcho-capitalist society survive being invaded by a non-anarcho-capitalist society. It's a good question. And so I'm going to answer your question. I've got your email. I usually don't write people back. It's not that I hate you guys or anything, but I gotta do a fan mail episode sometimes. Anyhow, I got your question. Also, I have some beautiful, beautiful newspaper articles. Garrison Keillor, mongoloid that he is. When I was in high school, we would have called Garrison Keillor a mongoloid because he's got like this sort of, if you've seen pictures of Garrison Keillor, he's got this deformed face. And I know, racist, sexist, homophobic, bigoted, mongoloid phobic, whatever. It's just a fact he's a fucking mongoloid. Now, he's a talented guy. The Prairie Home Companion on NPR. I used to listen to that all the time. I don't listen to it now only because I don't really have the time to listen to it. And I'd rather listen to podcasts and shit like that. But, I mean, Garrison Keillor, very talented speaker, very talented voice actor. You know, love listening to Prairie Home Companion. He tells the stories about Lake Wobegon where all the children are above and the great. And it's like all of these celebrity types. Would you please just do that which you are good at? You know, acting, voice acting, radio, whatever, and shut the fuck up about politics? Why is Garrison Keillor? By the way, I've met Garrison Keillor in person. I'll have to remember to tell this story. I've told this story long ago on the cast, but I have to remember to tell it when I read his columns. Garrison Keillor. Why is Garrison Keillor writing a newspaper op-ed piece about politics? Right, this is like George Clooney. There's never going to be a Bush. There's never going to be a Trump president. I mean, just shut up and go fucking act. Shut your fucking mouth and go act. Anyhow, I have two op-ed columns from Garrison Keillor, mongoloid that he is, where he gives us his such so intelligent and astute opinions about politics. They're fucking hilarious. So that's coming, but not today. That's what she said. What else am I going to... In that episode, I'm going to try to do those two things. Oh, and then I've also got an article. In theory, I'm going to get all this in one episode. Probably not, because we know how I am. I also have an article about there's just not enough men in the workforce. And nobody can figure out why men don't want jobs in the modern workforce. No, it's just... I'm baffled. I can't figure it out. I'm baffled. Let's go down to HR and let's talk to the HR girls and see if they can figure out why men don't want jobs in the modern workforce. We think, of course, guess what? You know why men don't want to get jobs? It's in the article. I can't make this up. You know the answer. Because of video games. They'd rather just stay home and play video games because they're just not mature like women are. Anyway, all that's coming today on Stating the Obvious. Oh, the weapons platform. All right. So I'm at the bar the other day with a friend of mine and we're talking about something. I'm trying to recreate this conversation from memory as best I can. I don't remember how we got there, but it was something about something, people not doing what they say, to which I said something along the lines of, and I'm not going to preface every sentence with something along the lines of, because again, just work with me here. I'm recreating this from memory. I said, yeah, kind of like the way all those of you who bitched during the entire election about Donald Trump didn't actually fucking move to Canada, did you? This is a guy I've talked about a lot. He's retired and he's kind of a man, but he's also really beta male. And so he sort of like knows not, he doesn't go down rabbit holes with me because he knows from experience that he will lose. And he laughed and he said something like, yeah, that's true. And then he says, but my wife, we'll call his wife Alice. He says, Alice is going to the Million Woman March in Washington, D.C., or whatever it's called, to protest Donald Trump. And I said, really? She's going to this? And he's like, yeah, she's going to this. And then he says, which isn't really that smart, because January is not really the time you want to go to Washington, D.C. It's going to be really cold. See, even as a left-wing statist, he voted for Hillary Clinton. Actually, this is the guy who he doesn't vote. He gives his mail-in ballot. I've told you guys this story before. They do mail-in ballots. He gives his ballot to his wife, and she votes for him. I can't make this up. I can't. Because he said that, like, if she votes for Hillary and he votes for Trump, this is just an example, then their votes negate each other. They cancel each other out. And so they don't matter. And so that's why he gives his ballot to his wife, so that she can vote on both ballots the same way. And that way their votes don't cancel each other out. This is why democracy doesn't work, because you can't have democracy when you allow stupid people to participate. Democracy will only work if participation in democracy is limited to non-stupid people. Okay, democracy is not the solution. Democracy is the problem. So anyhow, he says, yeah, this is really isn't a very good time to go to Washington, D.C. because it's going to be cold. And I said, well, yes, but you have to consider that none of the people going to this event are actually very intelligent. And he looks at me and he laughs. He says, well, I'm not really going to argue with that. Then I said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this whole Million Woman March or whatever it is really just a scam put on by the hotels and the restaurants to make a lot of money. Because if you think about it, so all these chicks are going up there. They got it. I mean, it's not like they're going to be sleeping out on the streets or anything, right? They're all going to get really expensive hotel rooms. They're all going to eat in restaurants. I don't think this is so much a protest as it is an excuse for a vacation, right? It's all these chicks like, well, we're just going to get away from our husbands and go up here. And, you know, again, it's not like she's going to be sucking any knobs because she's, I don't know, 70-something? I'm actually not sure how old they are. But the other part about this that occurred to me later on is, so this guy, he is retired. He worked his 40 years at a company or whatever and got a nice retirement package. And, you know, he said, and his wife didn't have a job that entire time. And not that I would get married, but if I were in his place, let's say how somehow magically I was in his place, and my wife comes in there and says, of course, again, you know, again, if I was in his place, then I would probably be exactly, this is like when people say, well, if I were the president, I would do blah, blah. No, you wouldn't. Because if you were the president, to become president of the United States, like Donald Trump has, you have to be the sort of person who becomes president of the United States, right? If you were president of the United States, you would be the sort of piece of shit that becomes president of the United States. You would not have the morals and worldviews and philosophical opinions you have right now, right? So if you've ever heard me say, if I were president of the United States, I would blah, 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 that's obviously me being full of shit, because if I were president of the United States, I'd be a piece of shit, just like everyone else who's ever been president. That's why I prefer to say, if I were dictator of the United States, because you could become dictator of the United States and still be yourself. Anyhow, what he should have said when she came to him and said, I'm going to Washington, D.C. to protest Donald Trump, he should have said, really? And are you going to get a job to pay for this? Or are you expecting me to pay for this? It's like, he's the one who worked. It's his retirement package. And, you know, she's going to take it, go off to Washington, D.C. She's going to, I mean, God, what? I have no idea. What in fuck's name could a this is going to happen on Inauguration Day, right? How expensive must a hotel room be, like the night before and the night after Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C.? I mean, the cheapest hotel room has got to be well over $100. So she's going to be springing airplane ticket, because nobody will be flying to Washington, D.C., right? So airplane tickets won't cost a lot. Hotel rooms won't cost a lot. The restaurants aren't going to see this coming. They're not going to jack the prices up and have all sorts of little specials and all this other, right? I mean, she's going to spend thousands of dollars to go up there and stand around in the cold when she could have just fucking moved to Canada. Just fucking moved to Canada. CommiesToCanada.com. CommiesTo, not the letter two, T-O, Canada, CANADA, CommiesToCanada.com. Go check out the donation levels. You can help send a commie to Canada. Okay, it can be done. We can get the commies out of the United States, send them to Canada. Somebody on Twitter contacted me and suggested an exchange program where, like, we would send a commie to Canada, and Canada would send back somebody who is either an anarchist or a libertarian. And I thought that was a brilliant fucking idea. So maybe we'll work on setting up an exchange program also. But right now, we are taking donations. There's different donation levels. We're going to send commies to Canada. I mean, she's going to be right there in Washington, D.C. It's not that much further to just get across the border and be a Canadian. All right. Anyway, that was just fucking, that was righteous. That was so fucking awesome. And then we moved on and talked about other shit because, believe it or not, I don't have to spend every fucking moment of my life obsessing about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Hussein Obama, the Messiah, who brought us 8 years of peace and improved race relations and closed down Guantanamo Bay and ended all the wars. There's no more wars. Next. Today's theme is stupid feminism. All right, next, Conan. I'm going through my comic book collection, reading some stuff, finding out, of course, that, as I talked about before, people change. Comic books that I once thought were fantastic, I'm now reading them and going, God, this is pure shit. I cannot believe I ever actually liked this. But thank God, you know, we as human beings, we develop. We don't, well, some of us do. Those of you, I've been voting Democrat since I was 18 years old and I'm 74 now. That's pretty goddamn pathetic that your fucking understanding of the world around you hasn't changed at all in 50 fucking years. I would not brag about that because, as I pointed out before, I've only been podcasting for 12 years and my view of the world has altered greatly just in those 12 years. I've run the whole blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about me for a minute. That's a good Vulture Culture by Alan Parsons Project. It's got some really good songs on that album. I like that one a lot. Let's talk about me for a minute. Anyway, let's talk about me for a minute. Right? You've heard this before. I started left-wing statist, fucking communist, socialist as fuck. Transitioned to right-wing statist, fucking Rush Limbaugh listener. Transitioned to minarchist, well, I guess libertarianish came first, what we call libertarians today, which is sort of libertarians today is kind of like Republican light or something. Then I transitioned to minarchist, and then of course I finally became an anarcho-capitalist. So I've been there and done that. All right, stupid feminist. All right, here we go. So anyway, Conan. I'm reading the comic books, and I have a shit ton of old Conan, which were really pretty bad. And then, because Conan's been published by various companies over the years, like the big Marvel magazine format, were really pretty fucking terrible. And then I got to Dark Horse, did a Conan series, which is what I'm reading, and this particular issue came out in October 2005. And the Dark Horse thing, they're taking the Ron E. Howard stories and they're trying to stay as faithful to them as possible. And this, they're doing a really good job. I'm enjoying these stories and yada, yada, yada. Okay. So anyhow, it's a presentation of Conan in which they are attempting to remain faithful to the original material and they're redoing actual, you know, it's not like just made up Conan stories, taking the character and making shit up. It's taking the Ron E. Howard stories and doing them. So anyhow, here's the important part. In one of the stories, there's this woman and she's this, you know, badass fighter. She's like Black Widow, right? She can beat up 74 fucking men because vagina. And the backstory on this is that She was a princess and she was unhappy and yada, and she went to the Bone Woman, who's this magic woman. And she says unto the Bone Woman, you know, I want to be more. I want to be a bad. I basically said, I want to be a man. She said, I want to beat people up. I want to be a man because I'm not any good at being a woman. So she was a feminist. And the Bone Woman said, okay, I can teach you to kill people, but you have to serve me. Yada, yeah, sure. And so the Bone Woman throws her into a pit. And the first night, and then throws like a sword down in there. And the first night, a demon comes up and rapes her. And then the second night, two demons come and they rape her. And then the third night, three demons come and they rape her. And so she's got her little sword and she's trying to fight back. And the whole shtick is supposed to, every night, another demon shows up to help rape her, right? So when it's 363 days, there's 363 demons lined up to rape her. And I don't know, I guess they had to come really quick. Otherwise you'd be, but anyhow, you know what? It's a comic book. It's fantasy story. it's not real. So anyhow, the point is, because every night these demons are coming to rape her, and she doesn't want to be raped, she learns to use the weapon. And then the bag-lipped woman throws in some more weapons over time, you know, and then this is how she becomes this super badass Black Widow chick who can kill 73 men, right, is by defending herself from these demons. All right, well, apparently back in 2005, feminism was alive and well, because this letter is published in the back of one of the comic books. Hang on. All right. No beer yet this morning. Not even a martini. It's almost 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm recovering. I had to work for a living yesterday. It was rough. Anyway, here we go. Hey, all. Conan forever and all that. Amen. Very glad to have a new take on the legend. But on issue 12, your writer needs a smack of one kind or another. Okay, so he needs a smack. The writer needs a smack. The writer did something that I don't agree with. Therefore, there should be some physical violence initiated against the person who did something I don't agree with. Because this is how left-wing statists resolve their problems, is with physical violence. I am angry. Okay, that's an emotion. That's your problem. You need to control that. And disappointed. Okay, that's an emotion. That's because you had expectations for other people. Having expectations for other people is an appointment with disappointment. That's in the Articles of CLSology, which are available on the website, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs. Oh yeah, email God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. I am very angry and disappointed with this issue because you have offended my wife and therefore me and all women in general. I am offended because my wife is offended because I am not able to detach my emotions from my wife's emotions. I am such a beta male that my wife controls my emotional responses, and I have to follow her emotions wherever she goes so that I don't have to sleep on the couch. And of course, you have offended all women in general. Because, first of all, he can speak for all women, but second of all, how do you offend all women in general? Couldn't you generally offend women, or couldn't you offend all, but you offend all women in general? I love how, yeah, anyway. This story lacks any sense of masculine maturity, because you can already tell the person who wrote this letter is obviously very masculine, right? He would know a lot about masculine maturity. This story lacks any sense of masculine maturity and goes a long way in a short space to discredit a beloved genre. Yes, Conan literature is full of lascivious depictions. Holy fuck, dude. Multiple syllable words. Sex. But having a heroine gang raped by demons every night for a decade is grotesque and weak. My wife enjoys a highly developed genre range. Right, that means your wife is blowing the fucking pool boy and your next door neighbor. My wife enjoys a highly developed genre range, from French history to classic erotica and adults-only manga. She has no problem with depictions of females engaging in tentacle sex or with porn. But Conan is not meant to be porn. How do you know it, Conan? You didn't write Conan. So why does a woman have to get raped as, quote, just a natural part of the past that brings the character into existence, unquote? Why stick this in a story about Conan? Well, because she's a character in the Conan story, and that was what the person who wrote the story thought of. That's why you put it in there, because the person who wrote it put it in there. That's what he wrote. Now, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. You can have your emotional response. But to ask the question, why do you put it in there? It's in there because that's what Ron E. Howard fucking wrote. That's why it's in there. I know that you think there should be censorship. Would you want this might hurt somebody's feelings? We should take this out. We should pretend this isn't what he wrote because, oh my God, this is offending my feminist sensibilities. Why stick this in a story about Conan? How many male heroes ever get raped? The bad guys have had the opportunity every time Conan takes a crack on the head. I bet your readers couldn't handle that one at all. This is a bad habit in all forms of entertainment, where the female character is raped as a plot device to explain how a woman got to be something other than a mother or a homemaker. Nowadays, of course, the women rape society to become something other than a mother or a homemaker. They get their student loans, and they get their affirmative action, and they get their fucking quotas to get into college, they get their quotas to get into the workplace, and they can't figure out why men don't want to get jobs. And basically, women now rape society in order to be something other than a mother or a homemaker. It's a cliche that decent men shouldn't dream about even in the context of fantasy. Referring to women getting raped as a plot device. No, decent men can dream about women getting raped as a plot device. And especially nowadays, where every woman gets raped every time someone looks at her. I mean, how can you not use rape as a plot device when the entire concept of feminism revolves around women being raped? I mean, women can't shut the fuck up about being raped, right? I started a YouTube channel about feminism because I was raped. I've started a website about feminism because I was raped, right? Every fucking feminist out there is doing what she's doing because she was raped. Even if she wasn't really raped, even if she's never had sex in her life, she's still motivated by that. There's all these men out there who want to rape her, right? There's all these fat women running around out there who are just obsessed with the hundreds of billions of thousands of men, like from across the entire cosmos, like men on other planets want to come and rape them because they're just that desirable. Feminism centers on rape. You can go as deep into it as you have the courage to ask questions of your society. From an academic and humanistic perspective, it belies our culture's inability to relate to women. Yes, our culture has such a total inability to relate to women. My goodness, there are no free things for women. Women don't get handouts. Women don't get privileges. Women don't get protection. Women don't get affirmative action. Women aren't allowed to go to college. Our society, the prime directive of which is that no white woman must ever experience discomfort. Our society just can't relate to women. I'll give you an example to put it in perspective. I remember a bit of hack and slash role playing that I used to do with one group. The game master decreed that my friend's character, male, got raped by slavers. His reaction was distinct in my memory. He just wouldn't put up with it being done to him, even to his virtual hero character. And he had the character commit suicide. This pissed everyone in the party off and upset one or two who couldn't deal with that issue either, but he was adamant. Quote, that character is going to kill himself, end of story, or I'm not playing it and this game again, unquote. Well, and that's his choice. It's his fucking role-playing character. You can do what the fuck you want with your role-playing character. This is feminism. We were playing a role-playing game, and another person did something with his character that I don't like. This is evidence that our society can't relate to women. How dare you do what you want to do with your role-playing character? You are obviously a misogynistic pig, and you hate women. Can you imagine the appeal of cinematic characters such as Conan or Han Solo if they got casually raped as a plot device? Most men would walk away in disgust at the thought of their favorite male role model hero being used as a sex slave, condemning the character as a homosexual, as my friend in the example above did. Well, there's really, in the story as you tell it, there's no evidence that your character, that your friend, condemned the character as a homosexual. His character committed suicide because he got raped. That's not the same thing as condemning the character as a homosexual. What the fuck are you talking about? This only happens to heroines, though.
Right.
And again, part of this is feminism, because what has feminism told us? That women always get raped, and that men are all evil. Another reason the whole rape thing nowadays, remember Ron E. Howard wrote this, God, I don't even know when. When did he, hang on one second. In the 30s? When did Ron E. Howard write Conan? In the 1930s, I think? Something like that. Today, right now, we still use the royal we, still use rape as a plot device to present, motivate female characters, because again, women want to be raped. Women have rape fantasies. The research papers are linked to on the fucking website, my website. Research has shown that the more educated women are, the more rape fantasies they have. First of all, women do fantasize about being raped, 50 Shades of Grey. Also, the feminist women, they want women to be raped because that's how they get to play the victim card. So of course, today, right now, 2016, in pop culture, in movies, in books, and novels, yes, rape is used as a plot device with women because women want to be raped. Because they get the Gina tingles from it, and also because it allows them to play the victim card. And they want to perpetuate the myth that all men are rapists, that all women are rape victims. And that's why you see so much of it today. Okay, back to the letter. I've recently read the re-released original stories by Roy Thomas. He elaborates with interest and at great length the issues and complications that he had to face when crafting a character under very strict censorship regulations and controls. I really have no idea what any of that is talking about, because I don't even know who Roy Thomas is. Surely you can try harder and fill a few boxes with less insulting lines. I'm sure you can, given the work so far. Best regards, Damien Karuthakai, and this guy, Adam Piggott, your countryman. This person is from Perth, Western Australia. Hey, Adam, go find this person and slap the fuck out of him for me, will ya? Now, the editor of the comic book, or whoever it is that writes the responses on email your comments to Scott Alley. He's the editor, so I'm assuming this is Scott Alley who wrote this response. Here's the response from the comic book. Obviously, I disagree or I wouldn't have published the story, but there was some dissent among the creative team. However, no, we did not offend all women, nor did we discredit a genre. We were hardly the first to tread on these themes, and we did it a lot more delicately than others have. Now, I like this. He didn't say, no, I don't feel like we offended all women. He just said, no, we did not offend all women. And REH's Conan stories included rape, even demon rape. Like us, Howard never depicted the rape graphically, which is why you can't point the porn finger at this scene. This sort of thing exists in fantasy literature because of less than savory tendencies in our real culture. You suggest a male victim of rape would be considered gay by some readers. Those would be some stupid readers, but you aren't even willing to consider that a male victim of rape might have a female aggressor. This is in 2005 from the editor of a fucking comic book. Let me read this sentence to you again. You suggest a male victim of rape would be considered gay by some readers. Those would be some stupid readers. But even you aren't willing to consider that a male victim of rape might have a female aggressor. No, we'll never talk about sperm jacking. We'll never talk about divorce rape. No, and we'll never even outright talk about a man having sex with a woman when he just might not feel like it. Which, of course, remember, that's rape. It's like 7 years later, a woman decides, oh, I had sex with that guy 7 years ago, and I think I didn't really feel like having sex with him. I've been raped! The sexist, inequitable relationship is there. And even when you don't try to see around it, you can't. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The sexist, inequitable relationship is there, and even when you try to see around it, you can't. But I don't want to get too deeply into this. If I get any letters of reply to this letter, I will bump them up in the queue because I'd be interested to see a dialogue on this one. It's a fucking sword and sorcery. Sorcery is different than sorcery. Sword and sorcery fucking fantasy. And you've got some fucking feminist fucking beta male from Australia. Adam, from Australia. Now, we have our share of fucking beta males here too. God. From Australia, writing in, complaining about the character I rape. Well, maybe because that's the only way a fucking woman can accomplish anything. That's the only way women right now can accomplish anything. I got raped. Oh, look, now I'm famous. Right? Women, they could get jobs, but no, they can't get jobs because they have worthless fucking degrees and because they're lazy and they can't show up on time. But then they go out and they get quote-unquote raped by a man, and now they're famous and they get fucking money and all this other shit. This is how women accomplish things. With their vaginas. Where are we at on time? Oh God, this is great. I'm doing fantastic. Let's take this home. I'm at the library, picking up some stuff. And I'm looking over in the new books section where they have the books that are new. That's why it's the new book section. And I saw this. And I blinked. I looked again. I still saw it. And so I like looked the other way. I looked over to the counter where one of the cute librarians is at. And I looked at her butt for a second. And it was really nice. And I looked back again. And it was still there. And it's a real thing. And the library, my... Because I'm paying for it with taxes. My public library actually took some of my tax money and bought this. Oh, God. And I checked it out because I had to. And here we are. The feminist activity book. By Gemma Coral. Okay. this is the back cover. Looking to smash the patriarchy and get your crafty fix? Look no further. Enter Gemma Coral's feminist activity book, where your dress-up doll can wear whatever she wants, and the only thing limiting your sexuality is the size of your colored pencil collection. Welcome to the games, coloring projects, and crafts of your egalitarian dreams. Jimmy Coral has bad eyesight. Thanks to the wonders of spectacle technology, however, she manages to hold down a full-time job as a freelance cartoonist slash writer slash illustrator and bumps into things only occasionally. Gemma is from England, one more reason why we should have let Nazi Germany have England in addition to France. Gemma is from England and currently resides in Oakland, California. One more reason why we should vote for Cal Exit and build a fucking wall over there. It's not a wall between America and the fucking Mexico that we need. It's a wall between the United States and California. Resides in Oakland, California with her partner, Anthony, and pugs, Mr. Pickles and Bella. So she has pug dogs. Dogs are small. What have I told you guys? And you say, you're just racist and sexist and homophobic. You hate women. No, what have I told you guys? The smaller a woman's dog, the bigger her mental problems. Pugs, they're small dogs. Small dog equals big mental problems. I want to get a few things before we start having. There's some things I just want to make sure I get in, so we're going to start there. These are selected titles from Seal Press. That's the publishing company that put this out. Screw everyone, sleeping my way to monogamy. From her first kiss to saying I do, Screw Everyone is a honest, hilarious chronicle of how one woman discovered herself, conquers her fears, and even found the real thing. One promiscuous encounter at a time. I wonder what beta male ended up marrying that woman. Opria Eisenberg? O-P-H-I-R-A. Eisenberg. I have to look her up, see how ugly she is. Full Frontal Feminism, A Young Woman's Guide to Why Feminism Matters. Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls, A Handbook for Unapologetic Living. Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls is an invitation for all women to reject fat prejudice, learn to love their bodies, and join the most progressive and life-changing revolution there is. The movement to change the world by loving their bodies. Again, this is the female. The entire world revolves around, I'm going to change the world by loving my body. The entire cosmos revolves around her body. That is the attitude of the femistatist. He's a stud, she's a slut, and 49 other double standards every woman should know. Right, he is a stud. If you have sex with multiple women, that requires a lot of work. If you're a man, getting a woman to spread your legs for you requires work. You have to go to the gym. You have to eat healthy. You have to have conversation skills. You have to go to where the women are. You have to make the first move, the second move, the third move, the fourth move. You have to buy the condoms. You have to do a lot of work. Women are sluts because for a woman to get a man to stick a dick in her, all she has to do is show up. I mean, yes, you have to be at least slightly attractive, but you don't have to these days. You don't even have to be that attractive. You just have to show up. Any woman who... we've been down this road before. I don't need to do it again right now. Gender outlaws, the next generation. Blah, 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 blah. Collects and contextualizes the work of this generation's trans and genderqueer forward thinkers. Whew. Okay, here we go. Let's take a look at this. The Feminist Activity Book. Here we go. Let's have some fun with this. I almost considering taking some pictures. Are you a... So it's just black line drawings on white paper. So it's an... When it says activity book, it's like an activity book that you buy for small children. It's like coloring. You color in it and it's got mazes and crossword puzzles and stuff. It's an activity book for small children. Why would feminist buy an activity book for small children? Because as many people have explained to you, feminists are simply children. Are you a feminist? Do you believe that all people are equal regardless of gender? And your choices are, heck yes, yay, you are a feminist. And you could say no, and it says, seriously, you don't believe that everyone is equal? Wow, okay. There it is. That is feminist logic. You don't believe everyone is equal? Wow. No, everyone is not equal. They're not. Everyone is not equal. Everyone is different. Every single person. There are no two people are equal, guys. It's not like that. A feminist ABC. A is for activism. And one of the little activist girls is in a wheelchair. I don't even know what B is. Benshaw, I don't know what it is. C is for contraception. D is for democracy. E is for equality. F is for fat. And it shows a picture of a naked fat woman, and the naked fat woman is saying, all bodies are good bodies. G is for genderqueer. H is for hair. J is for journalism. Wait, I is for intersectionality. Okay. L is for liberation. M is for maternity. What? Now, what's interesting, M is for maternity. And it shows a woman pushing a baby carriage, and there's little rain clouds raining on the baby. Not on the woman, they're just raining on the baby. I have no idea what the fuck that's supposed to mean. N is for the National Women's Party. O is for our bodies ourselves. Oh, this one will be a shock. P, what do you think P is for? No, not pussy. P is for, what is the feminist favorite agent thing? Planned Parenthood. Q is for queer. R is for riot girl. S is for suffrage. T is, of course, for tampon. U is for underwear. V, this you know this one. V is for vagina. W is for women. W-O-M-Y-N. This is why I spell chicks. C-H-Y-C-K-S. X is for chromosomes. Y is for yes means yes, and no means no. Z is for zines. Oh, look, here's a map of feminist waves. The 1990s to present third wave feminism focused on becoming more inclusive, breaking down gender walls, and making feminism more relevant to contemporary culture. Oh my God. Some argue that seeing only three waves of feminism ignores the struggles of the feminist movements outside the US, UK, and Canada. See, just everything is racist. Everything is discriminatory. You only see three waves of feminism? You're discriminating against women in other countries. Here's your doodle. Here you can doodle some alternative uses for a menstrual cup. Wow, that's exciting. I don't know who Benchel is. Here we can doodle. We can design some awesome, if impractical, condoms. Here's the feminist book club. Read and review some feminist classics. Cunt, A Declaration of Independence. Fat is a feminist issue. We should all be feminist. The Handmaiden's Tale. Oh, feminists love that book. And let's see, what do we got here? Match the gender identity with the correct definition. Gender identity does not align with those considered with the gender assigned at birth. Right? And then feels a partial connection to a gender identity. Gender identity aligns with the gender assigned at birth. Here we can color in. Screw the euphemistic blue liquids of commercials. Get your red pens and pencils and go to town on these menstrual products. Make them good and bloody. There's pictures here of menstrual products for you to color. Here's Where's Wendy. There are 500 CEOs at this Fortune 500 party. And you're supposed to look through all the little CEO drawings and find the women, because there's not enough women CEOs. Here's the crafty corner. Feminist merit badges to cut out and decorate. I know my her story. Body positive. Pro-choice. Challenger of gender stereotypes. In charge of my own body. Doodle feminist t-shirts. I'll smile if I want to smile. Oh my god. Here we have, what would your feminist utopia look like? Draw it here. Oh, here's the color in We Can Do It. So, you know, little We Can Do It girl, right? So we've got a We Can Do It girl in a fucking wheelchair. We've got a We Can Do It girl who's a Muslim wearing the Muslim garb. And we've got a We Can Do It girl who has hairy legs. And we have a We Can Do It girl who is obviously a man who has a fucking beard. Can you help Rashida find her way to work without encountering any patriarchal bullshit? It's a maze. You have to go through the maze and you can run into these dead ends. Oh no, it's the wage gap. Oh dear, you found the old boys club. Uh-oh, you've encountered sexual harassment. Ouch, you've hit the glass ceiling. It's social media bingo. Can't you take a joke? You're a feminazi. You're just looking for things to be offended by. Anyhow, there it is, guys. It's a real thing. The Feminist Activity Book. I'm not going to talk about it. I just had to get that out of the way. If you want to go find it and get a laugh, it's out there. I'm always right.